Romans chapter 9. We'll continue looking at Romans today. And as I was looking over this chapter again, I saw a couple verses that talk about God's purpose. And it brought me to a very popular teaching in many places today. Some places we call it health and wealth teaching, but a teaching that is not theologically correct, really. It is something that appeals to the human flesh. When we talk about God's purpose or God's purpose for your life, or you may have heard the phrase, God has a wonderful plan for your life, or God has a special purpose for your life, or maybe even that you need to choose your own destiny, which seems like it's the opposite of God has a wonderful plan for your life, but it's the same people using it because they're appealing to the flesh. God has a special purpose for your life, but you need to choose your own destiny. So it's almost like opposite, but yet they use it in the same way because our flesh wants to be in control and in power. But that is the opposite from what the Bible teaches. To be biblical, we have to come to realize that we're nothing without Christ and that we need Christ first and foremost, that is the most important thing in the world. Or a verse like Jeremiah 29:11 is very popular. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Or some other versions say, to give you a purpose and a hope. It's a verse that if you just take it out of context, you can appeal to the flesh. See, God wants, God is always thinking good about you, and He wants to give you a good life, basically. That's what they say. So in one sense, what we're looking at when we look at God's purpose is, again, God's election. But that is far from what the false teachers want that to mean. When they say God has a special purpose for your life, they don't think about election. They think about you doing something to get a good life. And that's not how God's election works. But what the Bible talks about God's purpose is and goes together with election. And we'll see that by some verses that we will look at this morning. Job said in Job 23:13, that what God desires, that He does. And there's an element in there, what God desires. So if God has a purpose, a special purpose for your life, So it's like He desires something for your life, right? But Job says that what God desires, that He does. He does it. He will do it, and He will bring it to pass. So does that mean God fails when we don't find our purpose that God has for us? Or what does it mean? If we look at purpose, and I title this The Purpose of God for People, or the purposes of God, which in another word would be God's intention or His design or His plan, His desire, His will, kind of goes together with His purpose. Or even God's providence. God works with His providence to accomplish His purposes by providentially by His hand make things happen or cause things to happen. I saw someone use an example of, you're saying that, well, God makes you do something, like God makes you sin or makes you take something that you didn't want to take. He forces your hand. And this person used an example and said, well, it's kind of like When you point over there and you say, look, there's a fire, and you all look that way. Well, I didn't make you look, did I? It's kind of like a secondary cause I did something or I said something and you out of your own will looked because, oh, you want to see what's going on. And that is somewhat, even though we will never come close to understanding the whole counsel of God, how he does everything, how he thinks. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts as the heavens are higher than the earth. So we will never get so close to say, oh yeah, now I see exactly how God works. But there are a lot of things that we can see and learn in the scriptures. And so Romans 9, the verses that I looked at about God's purpose, in verse 11, it says, "For the children not being yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calls." Okay, so this verse wouldn't work for those who say God has a special purpose for your life, because this is about election. God's purpose according to election might stand. Oh, can't we just separate those? Okay, God has a purpose, but his election is not about himself, it's about you. You decide to come to God, so then God elects you. No. God's purpose according to election, it's about him. He purposes in his mind and in his heart what he will do according to his election. God's purpose according to election. So this is talking about God's purpose in Jacob and Esau, that the elder will serve the younger. And then verse 13, "As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." That was in God's purpose according to election. That is God's purpose, God's plan, God's intention. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. We looked at that last week about God's righteousness. And then in verse 17, "For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up." Scripture says about Pharaoh, "For this purpose," God says, "I have raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." So how did God show his power through Pharaoh? Well, by hardening his heart, and by Pharaoh rejecting the Israelites from doing what God wanted them to do. So God raised up Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't raise up himself to be the king, to be the Pharaoh of the land, basically the king of the land. God raised him up. It was God's purpose to raise him up to show his power. Oh, but didn't God have also for Pharaoh a special purpose the way he has for everyone, right? Oh, back then that was the Old Testament. Now we're in the New Testament. God doesn't change. So if God has a special purpose for everyone, that means he had a special purpose for Pharaoh too, but he had a second purpose or what? Or God had a special purpose for Pharaoh, that he had good thoughts toward him, thoughts of good and not of evil, but Pharaoh just messed it up himself. No, but then the scripture wouldn't work. "God raised up Pharaoh that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth." What was God's purpose? To raise up Pharaoh to show God's power and to make his name known in all the earth. So we're coming back to election again. That's basically what election is about. But that is God's purpose for Pharaoh, it says. So maybe you can find a scripture that says that God had a special purpose for Pharaoh that is something else than this. But then you have to show how those verses work together. Or maybe that's just an unbiblical thought, an unbiblical idea that is not from the Bible, that God has a special purpose for everyone to so that they'll have a good life and go to heaven. Maybe that's just not biblical. We'll look at some more verses to look at what purpose is and what God's purpose is in the Bible. In short, we'll go over some verses. Isaiah 14:24. the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. So the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heaven and earth, says, what my thinking is, that's what's going to happen. It shall come to pass, and what I have purposed, that shall stand. So God says, I make a decision, I make a purpose in my mind, what is going to happen, and that's what's going to happen. There's nobody who can do otherwise. So back at our idea about us, God has a special purpose for everyone. Well, then everyone must have a special life, right? And never die. Or what? Or is that thought unbiblical? Now, we will get to God's purpose for the believers, but be patient. Ephesians, we'll look at a few verses. Ephesians 1, verse 9 and 11. Ephesians 1, verse 9 and 11. From verse 8, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. So, having made known unto us, he's talking about the believers here, that God has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself. God made a plan in himself, with himself, that he would show us the mystery of his will and the mystery of Christ. That in verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. So, God's predestination is according to his purpose. Of God's purpose that he works out, because he works out all things, it says, according to the counsel of his own will. So God predestines based on his purpose, based on the counsel of his own will. So what do I have to say about God's purpose? Nothing. That doesn't mean that I don't have a response to make, or that I have to come to the place where I realize that I'm sinful and that I need a Savior, that is part of God's purpose, yes, and that I need to surrender, because it's a physical thing, that my will would become willing, my flesh, to be crucified and to surrender to Jesus Christ as Lord. That is a part of God's purpose and plan for the believer. But his purpose and plan has nothing to do with us. It's not of works, and it's not of the flesh. It's not of the will of men. It's not of blood. It's not in a lineage. But it's a purpose of God that will stand. Ephesians 3 verse 11 talks about God's eternal purpose. According to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus, our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. So God's eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus. God's purpose is not something that he makes up now, but it is something that he has within himself in eternity. So, 5 million years ago, God already had purposed in himself that we would have Grace Baptist Community Church here. And that everyone who is saved here is saved because of his purpose. 10 million, 100 million years ago, because God is eternal. That is his purpose. His purpose is eternal. And I know the flesh says, no, that can't be. How can't we make a decision? Can't we make a choice? It's almost like some people are getting, what's the word for it? But so upset, and in German we say sped up, because how can God do that? Why is God like that? Doesn't God give each one of us a choice? And that is the other side of it, is that we have a choice, but we don't make a right choice. We cannot make a right choice without His grace. Again, that is within His purpose. Romans 8, verse 28, very common, popular verse. Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to our choice. Oh, no. According to His purpose. Who are the called according to His purpose. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. See, God is clarifying what His purpose is. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. His purpose is that whom He foreknew, He also would call, justify, and glorify. That He would finish that work in His purpose. 2 Timothy 1, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 1 John 3, verse 8, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. So here, again, is the purpose of God, but this is the purpose of God in sending Christ, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Or Isaiah 46, 11 says what God does, that He calls a bird from the east, the man that executes My counsel from a far country. Yeah, I have spoken it, I also will bring it to pass. So, this is in God's purpose, and I'll read the rest here right now, that God brings a bird from the east, or that there is a man from a far country who does His counsel and His will. And then He says, yeah, I have spoken it, I also will bring it to pass, I have purposed it, I will also do it. So the birds that migrate from the north, that migrate here every winter, that is in God's purpose. That's what He says. And then He says the same way that is in His purpose, and that it is in His purpose that someone from a far country would come and do God's work, is His purpose. The same way He just says, I have purposed it, and I will do it. That doesn't mean that God does things or for us. You know, we sit at home and God does everything for me. No, I am here because God has sent me here. So in God's purpose, I am here. But God says, I have purposed it and I will also do it. He has to make a person willing, and He has to give a person the ability to do it. That His purpose is fulfilled. And then His purpose is fulfilled. He says, I will also do it. He's not saying maybe, or hopefully, or let's see, we'll try, I'll try my best. God never says, I'll try my best. No, He says, I have purposed it, and I will do it. Proverbs 20, verse 18 says, every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. It's speaking humanly about our decisions and our plans and our purposes, that we establish them with counsel if we're wise, we don't just rashly make decisions, but we ask others about something. If there's a big thing we want to do, We ask friends. We ask someone who we trust for counsel. Well, the thing about God is, He also has a purpose that is established by counsel, but He is His own counsel. God doesn't come and ask us, what do you think I should do? Is this a good idea? No, because God is His own counsel. Everything that is of wisdom, that is of truth, is from God. Everything that we have of wisdom or of truth is from God. So He is His own counsel. So according to the counsel of His will, He purposes what He will do. He plans. He has a purpose. He has, in His mind, He knows what He will do, and He does it. So, back to the question, does God really have a purpose for our lives? Or is it the opposite, where God just lets us choose our own destiny and just stays out of our lives? You know, you can just do whatever you want, let's see where it's heading. That would be kind of like God says, okay, I'm going to create our earth and I'm going to create people and the animals and everything. Goodbye. Let's see where we're going to end up. I have no idea. But we know that's not who God is, and that's not how He operates. He sent the flood to destroy the earth. At that time, according to people's estimates, there already were a lot of people, a lot more than just Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. I mean, they probably didn't live at that time. But there was a lot of people who died because God was still doing His purpose. It was not where He said, oh, I didn't know what I was doing and the people messed up and I'm just going to wipe them out and then we're going to start over again. No, after He had destroyed the world, He said, I'm never going to do it, flood the world again. He promised it and He's keeping His promise. According to the timelines that we find about time, it's been much longer from when the world was destroyed by a flood up till now than it was before. So, I don't know the exact timeline, but if it was, let's say, around 1,000 years or 2,000 from the beginning of the world to the flood, then we would have another 4,000 years roughly up till now. So, God does keep His promise. He doesn't say, oh, I didn't think about how the people would mess up again and I have to change my mind and send the flood again and destroy the earth. No, He made a promise because that was His purpose. He knew what He was going to do. He is still working in the world. He burned up Sodom and Gomorrah at what, I didn't even look at the timeline of when that was, but other than that, He worked with the Israelites, with their enemies in the land of Canaan, on the journey from Egypt to Canaan. God did miraculous work still to always bring them back to Him. Because if He's just left them, they went away. They went astray. That's what happens when God just leaves someone to their own thinking and to their own way of doing things. They always go astray. They don't seek after God. That is against our nature that we would seek God. We want to be our own God. So God's purpose stands. He doesn't say, oh, I made a mistake, so I'm going to destroy the world. And then He makes a prediction that hopefully I'll never need to destroy the world again. That's not how He operates. He said, I'm not going to destroy the world again in a flood. Next time, I'm going to destroy it in a fire. I'm going to burn it up. Because when Christ comes back, the Bible says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, He will destroy the earth with fire. And He will create a new heaven and a new earth. God's purpose will stand. God's purpose does stand. So, I think that answers the question, does God just let us choose our own destiny? No, He never has. Just what I mean is just let people, okay, let's see where you're going to end up. No, He takes a active part in people's lives by bringing circumstances, by turning things that we turn certain ways. with Balaam and the donkey, he sent invisible angels to stop the donkey. The donkey saw them, but Balaam did not. And because he was not supposed to go and curse Israel, he stopped them. And God, in similar ways, in many different ways, in many more different ways than we can even imagine, sends things to stop us, to turn us left or right or up or down, if he doesn't want us to go the direction that we are going. So, does God just let us entirely up to our own being? Is that his purpose, that we just uninfluenced and undirected, we just go wherever we want? Well, we know with the Bible truth that we would all go to hell if God did not intervene. If God did not intervene in our lives, we would all go to hell. When God does intervene by his grace, we are saved. We get saved. This is not to say that God doesn't work in people's lives in certain ways that they still reject him. But God's purpose does not fail. The same way that God raised up Pharaoh for his purpose to show his power, the same way God moves also sometimes in unbelievers' lives to do things for his purpose. And today, the Bible is not just a history book of who God used to be. It's a living and active book, sharper than a two-edged sword, the Bible says. It is truth that divides the true from the false, and it is still the truth. Some of it is history. We know that there are no more apostles today by what the Bible says, but that has to do with seasons in this world. That has nothing to do with who God is or that God changed. That has to do with Jesus. He was on this earth walking as a man, but only for 30-some years. It doesn't mean that, oh, now always Jesus will be walking on this earth as a human being. No, there was a purpose for a time for Jesus to be here. That was God's purpose. And along the same lines, if God, the way some people say, well, God has a purpose for your life and you need to find it. If that were true, could we just fail to find our purpose and then just waste our life? Could we fail to find God's purpose and then just waste our life? Or is that even what God's purpose is? That's not how the Bible describes God's purpose, as some outside reality that we need to somehow find. That's not how God defines what his purpose is. That is something that should appeal to the flesh, and that's what false teachers use to bring in people, either for fame or many times for money. They heap up. It is itching ears that heap together teachers for themselves, things that they want to hear. But on the other hand, it is the false teachers who want that money as well. And that's one way that they make money. So if we could just waste our life, well, then God's purpose would have been useless and God wouldn't have been able to accomplish it. We know that is not true. God accomplishes his purpose. So God has a purpose, but does he have a purpose for believers or for unbelievers or for both? Well, he has a counsel and a purpose that is about everything. Not just some specific things, but about this whole world. It is by his foreknowledge and predestination that his children get saved, because of foreknowledge and predestination and God's love. But also that others don't find God and are not saved is also in God's purpose, even though it almost hurts to say it. But the opposite cannot be true, that God would fail in his purpose. That cannot be true. So we have to submit to the truth that God's purpose never fails, even when his purpose is that someone will not get saved. And I don't waste too much time listening to false teachers who teach all these things about God's special purpose for you and this stuff, but I've never heard them mention God's special purpose for Pharaoh or Esau or Judas. What was God's special purpose for them? What did they fail to find? Why did they fail to find it? But the thing is, about Pharaoh, we find what God's purpose was specifically. About Esau, Romans 9, we've been looking at. We find what God's purpose was specifically. Even about Judas, in Acts it says that he went to his own place. You could take it different ways, I guess, but it does sound like he went to the place that he was destined to go to. Even though he heard the gospel, he walked with Jesus, he was as close to God as a person could ever come because Jesus is God. And yet he rejected the gospel. So it's not like God failed in his purpose. It's not like he sent Jesus and still was not able to keep all his disciples. He would have been able to if that was his purpose. It says in John 12, verse 5 and 6 about Judas. Judas said, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor when this lady used her expensive ointment to anoint Jesus? And then it says, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put there. And so he had the money bag, he had money, and he was a thief, and he just used it for himself. So what is God's purpose for us? We know some truths about what God wants the believers to do. We have answers in Scripture. But the Scripture never tells us that we have to find some hidden purpose in order to be successful, or in order to be God's chosen one, that we have to find some hidden purpose. And I think all that does is it breeds discontent. People are always looking for something else. Yeah, I know I'm not exactly in my purpose, but I have to find it. So I'm never content. And discontent is sin, to be discontent. God tells us in whatever we have to be content. And I believe that means even in our place in life right now. It does not mean that we have to be content with having arrived, that we are now like Christ. Not in that type. But not to wish and hope for somebody to be somebody else than who we are right now. Because that's what this teaching really does, is encourage people to always hope they are somebody else and wish to be somebody else and find out who they should be like and who they should really be. But that is not biblical. See, we always have things where we need to work on. But what I have found many times in life is as I go, I realize that, okay, in this area in my life, I'm failing. I'm doing something I should not do, or I'm not doing something that I should do. And when God reveals that to us, well, then when He reveals that to me, or to us, or to any believer, we need to work on that part, right? To become more like Christ. So I believe we need to think about it like this. We are exactly where God has purposed us to be right now. And then look and see, okay, but what things in my life does God want me to change? What things in my life are not pleasing to Him? What things in my life could I become more like Christ? And then work on those things, and then a year from now, we will be exactly where God's purpose is that we should be. See, it works in two ways. One is we could become lax and say, okay, I'm just in God's purpose and that's fine and let's just stay right here. It doesn't matter. God's going to take care of everything and we can just relax. In one way, yes, But in another way, I think it's similar to saying, oh, can we sin that grace would abound? God forbid. How can we who have died to sin still live longer in it? How could we who have died to sin still live longer in it? The same way, how could we who are new creatures in Christ just reject what God shows us where we need to change? You know, sometimes we'll be a little bit discouraged. Sometimes we'll be, we won't like it maybe. We don't know how to get there. But it takes prayer. It takes perseverance. And it takes many times just a constant walking to get there. You know, the Bible said about, was this about a specific person or not, but when you've done all to stand, it says in Ephesians, stand therefore. See, you've worked for Christ because you are His. So you've done all. You have made an effort to stand. And then it says, stand therefore. So it's talking about the... it talks about the armor of God, that we have a work to do, but when we've done all that we can, then stand. Don't back down, don't sit down, don't lie down, but stand, and then keep going. So we have, if we are believers, we have come a ways. We are not where we used to be, because God works in us that we will grow. That is His purpose. He works in us that we will grow. So, we are exactly where we're in God's purpose, but we're not yet like Christ, and we're supposed to become more like Christ because God works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So, in God's purpose, we become more like Him when we are believers. But we need to learn to be content in knowing that, yes, we are not yet where we should be, the way Paul also said, that he's not yet where he should be, but also seeing that, in one sense, we are where we are at because this is how far we have come. But we still have a ways to go, and by God's grace, we will. So God has placed us in different positions, in different work, in different families, in different circles because of the purpose that He has for us. We don't need to be going around and looking for some other purpose outside that He has for us and always be discontent about who we are. But God has set us in our positions because of the purpose He has. God told Noah to go build an ark. I feel like in today's generation, everyone would go seeking for a sign instead of just following the plain instructions of God. Okay, God, do you really mean it? Let me see some rain. I've never seen rain in my life. Let me see some rain. That's just a typical result of unbelief. So God told Noah to go build an ark, and the same like Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. That's where it says what Jesus did. They were just looking for a sign, and He said, I'm not giving you no sign, and He departed. He said, the only sign you will have is that of the prophet Jonah. And that was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a fish, 3 nights in the belly of the earth where Jesus, His body, was buried and then He rose again from the dead. That was the sign. That was the sign that has already happened that we need to look at. We're not looking for some other purpose or some other sign about what we should do. We should be like Noah, and we see the thing that God wants us to do right now and then go do it. We don't need to be looking for some other outside purpose. A simple truth in 1 Thessalonians 5, or a simple set of truths about what should a believer do. This is part of what God's purpose is for us as believers. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15 to 22. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Verse 19, quench not the spirit. 20, despise not prophesyings. 21, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good, or test all things. Prove. Verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. That is God's will and God's purpose for our life. So, if you want to find your purpose, well then read the Bible and then follow it. John 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Romans 8, 29 and 30. Verses that I had earlier, but about God, whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. See, being conformed to the image of Christ is, one, a lifelong process, and two, it is something that God makes sure it happens in our life. Yes, we are to meditate on God's Word, we are to pray, and God will give us insights about how we need to live, but we are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. That is God's purpose and plan for the believer. But God's purpose does not fail, and therefore we know that if we are believers, we will be conformed to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. So, I hope that this message will encourage us about God's purpose and plan, and that we are in God's purpose and plan if we are believers, even though there are things where we may need to change. Well, then we need to pray about those things and work on changing those things, but realize that where we are at is in the purpose of God. But there's still a ways to go. There always will be. Until we see Him face to face, then we will be like Him, because we will see Him as He is. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your purpose, Your counsel, Your wisdom, Your plan. Thank You that in Your love You've saved Your children. And those that are here today who are believers, we thank You, and we pray if there's any who are not, or who are unsure, or who are struggling, I pray, Lord, that You would put it on their hearts and confirm it in their hearts that they are truly Yours, that You would make it true and confirm it in their heart. Lord, we pray that Your will may be done. We pray that You go with us again this week and help us to serve You and bring glory to You in all that we do. We thank You and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.